You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Barnes and Scott Angle, Matt Modica here with you on the program. And I thought we were gonna argue about Odell Beckham. That Scott and I were in an argument.
Yeah. No, we had a good time in that first hour. But listen, this is the passion that this hobby brings. You know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, nah. I got Scott's Seahawk helmet and little miniature Seahawk helmet in my hand because he's not gonna get this back until he puts Odell Beckham back where he should be in the rankings. And then I'll get this back to Scott. So I'm keeping this until Scott fix his rankings. You feel what I'm saying?
Now,
with that being said, listen, it's everybody's drafting this weekend. There's drafts going on. I got an auction night. Everybody's in it. Everybody's getting busy. It gets hot and heavy this time of year. But you know, that's what you want. This is what you want to see from the people that you take fantasy football advice from. People who take it serious. You feel what I'm saying?
That are passionate, yep, and extremely, extremely serious about their craft. By the way, talking about players in the top five and being hurt or showing up, Le'Veon Bell responded to a tweet. How about that?
Yeah.
So Le'Veon Bell was tweeting that last night. And he's like, dude, when are you coming back? It's my first. And the funny thing is, I don't know if you read the tweet that he got.
Yeah.
It was like, this is my first fantasy football season ever. I need to know when you're coming back.
Yo, it's crazy.
That's what they said.
But you know, it was so funny. The other day, I was about to text. I forgot what player. Well, I'm not text. Tweet some player and just ask him a question randomly and see if he would answer it. And that guy did it. And it worked. You know what I'm saying?
It was a girl, actually.
But this, oh, that young lady,
so this young lady does it. Like, hey, literally, it's my first fantasy football season. I'm just getting into it. When are you coming back? And he just writes 9/1/2017.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
That's when the potter be out of system.
His doctors probably told him,
yeah,
it's going to be out of the system on 9/1. I don't know. Like, wow. I guess, so what it was, 9/1 is what, 8 days away? So next Thursday he'll be back? Preseason will probably be over by then.
Yeah, preseason will be over. He, more or less, he's coming back in preparation for week one.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what kind of player he is, so there you go right there.
Do you think they'll throw him just right into the fire week one? I mean, this is a dude that hadn't been there. He'll be there for a week. You give him 30 carries?
Too dynamic
of a talent. 30 carries?
He'll come right back in there and get it rolling. And Le'Veon Bell, I trust. You know what I'm saying? Right. I wish I could diversify someplace enough to get damn Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson on one of my teams.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I almost have him. You can get him tonight. You can get him tonight. It's an auction.
Yeah, I'm not paying $60 for one player tonight.
Why? You're doing two auctions back-to-back days. Why don't you do one day?
Not my style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not my style either. It would have been fun, though. It would just be fun owning one of those two guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially the way he went crazy down the stretch last year. Le'Veon Bell was definitely a person that helped people win fantasy football championships. So, I'm about diversifying rosters, obviously. You know, in the executive edge, I have the...
Ding.
I have the first team, the executive edge first team. And these are the players that I have the most of, or will have the most of, because one of the dudes I got to buy tonight.
There you go. We're going to talk about that when we get back and find out who Scotty, Maddie, myself all have gotten the most shares of as well. Roto Experts in the Morning. We are up and running. Stick around. Hour number two continues on right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Wild show as we get closer and closer to fantasy football season officially kicking off. And the NFL season officially kicking off. Should be fun. And Scotty, how many Hey, where's your drafts do you have to go?
Let's see. I got at least three more to go.
Three more to go.
Yeah.
Is there, do you know your draft slot for all three?
Let's see. No, I don't like to know the draft slot for any of them yet.
Matty, I know you have the Super coming up, right? When is that?
That is Friday, September 1st at 8 p.m. That's the one big solo league I have left. I'll be doing an NFC Classic, which is a 14-teamer.
Right?
That I'll be partnering with Andy Saxton. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll be doing a 12-teamer, which is the prime time.
Right.
I'll be partnering with Andy Saxton. And then the very last draft of the season at 9 p.m. September 9th, I will be partnering with my partner on Friday nights from 9 to 11 on Old School Fantasy, the remix.
Ding.
Chris Vaccaro.
There you go.
Oh, what you and Chris doing?
Corey feels like doing that.
How the hell I was?
How many times have I said, let's partner up?
We got to do something. We got to do something before we get, obviously before we get to kickoff. But yeah, I got the NFFC
the
auction
time,
tonight.
Right?
Yeah, I'm in the prime time now. I got the NFFC auction tonight, and then I have Tony's auction tomorrow night, so that's going to be a lot of fun. The GST auction, Greg.
Ah,
how come
cool.
We didn't get in that one? Too late?
No, it wasn't that it's too late. It was just on it. It was honestly
bad timing.
Yeah, I think it was just bad timing for me. Unfortunately, I love it. I mean, maybe we'll talk. Maybe I'll get in with you. I'll say this: do you, wrapping up the diversification conversation, I just wanted to ask you this one question, Matt. In the Super and in the two major leagues that you were just talking about, that you still have to come. Do you want the same pick in all three? Do you want? Because I know you've kind of targeted a range that you like.
I'm happy with. Look, if I can get one or two, that's always going to be my optimal choice.
Sure.
But I wanted the top eight. Now it's probably definitely the top seven or eight. I'm still happy in that range.
Yep.
If I end up with AJ Green as my seventh or eighth pick, I'm totally fine with that.
Okay.
I get a nice pick in the second round. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it changes. Like, we talk about I've had to diversify. Like, early on, I've had tons of Danny Woodhead. Now, Danny Woodhead's gotten popular, and he's moved up.
Sure.
So I don't have as many shares. Not because I don't like the player.
Sure.
But, I mean, also, too, I wouldn't put everything in Danny Woodhead, my basket in that, because,
of course,
there is a good possibility
he's going to be hurt.
He's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to ignore that upside.
And you don't want to go down the ship like that.
Scott, I know you like to say that you can win from anywhere. You never care about your draft slot. You don't like training draft slots because, listen, you feel comfortable enough in your skills that you can win anywhere.
Yeah.
Given the draft, you've participated in a bunch of drafts already. You have three more to come. Have you found out in 2017 the spot that you most like drafting from?
I kind of like the end of the round.
Okay.
And, you know, I was at Citi Field last night. You know, I was talking to the Diamondbacks, who have, like, a really, really intense fantasy football clubhouse. And Archie Bradley and TJ McFarland were talking to me. And they've already traded their draft picks, like three times. And they're at 12 and 13 right now. They hate it. They've traded their draft picks three times. They hate where they are. I said, you're like the first guys to get the second player. I kind of like being back on the end of the swing because
sure.
– I kind of like who I get in the second round because I'm confident in wherever spot I can draft from, you know, no matter what draft it is.
I get what you're saying. I find myself liking certain spots better. I actually like being at the end of the draft right now. As I've said, I like who I get in the second round. I think there's a lot of question marks where you really like to be, Matt, in that like 7-8 range where you've said that you really like. I think there's a lot of question marks over there.
For me, if I'm not getting the first two, I like those receivers. And if I go with them in the first two rounds, I like getting that third round and fourth round running backs currently where they stay.
Okay.
The thing is, which kind of messed things up, I didn't hate the end of the draft when Zeke was not suspended for six games.
Right.
If Andrew Luck is fully healthy and T.Y. Hilton
the crew.
Is
there. Yeah.
When you lose like T.Y. Hilton, look, if I could have T.Y. Hilton right after the turn, Andrew Luck was healthy, they didn't just lose their center, that's great. Yeah, I'll do it. Michael Thomas, Jordy, and T.Y., or Devonta Freeman and T.Y., I'm happy with that. But now you lose T.Y., and T.Y. is awesome. And I love Doug Baldwin. I just don't want to have to push Doug Baldwin, you know, to all the way up there.
Right, so I totally agree. So as you guys know, I mentioned this before on the show, that I like to mock out my draft. And I want to talk about mocks coming up a little bit later on in the show. I mock out my draft, not like a mock draft, but like mocking who might who everyone's going to take, to try to figure out, get in their heads, talk to them, and do some research. That's my research. And I did this yesterday, and everybody I wanted was gone at my pick. And I'm like, well, F me. I have to figure something else out. Mm-hmm. And I thought about exactly what you just said. If Zeke was there, if T.Y. Hilton was there, it changed everything. Like, I am in this gorgeous, gorgeous spot where I have all the run. And I didn't want to put, like, the next best wide receiver on the board when I was doing it was Doug Baldwin. I was like, this is too high for Doug Baldwin. The next best running back.
What's too high for Doug Baldwin?
2-3.
No,
you don't think so?
I think that's what Doug Baldwin's going to start going over the course of the next couple of weeks. Yeah,
but that's because of what we're talking about.
I could
right?
take Doug Baldwin too. I love him. I mean, right now, you know, what is he like? Ninth in my rankings.
Maybe, right.
The thing is, I'd rather have T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton is awesome. Sure. Like Corey had him fourth early on before all this stuff, and that's not crazy. That is not crazy. The guy gets the yardage every season, puts up a half a dozen touchdowns. He's on a team that's going to throw the ball a ton and all that. But he's not, you know, you can't be. I've seen people still taking him early, and I get it if you know luck. But losing the center cannot be understated with that team. And I was a guy that was thinking luck was a value. But I'm getting, you know, I'm starting to pull away from the Colts because, you know.
It's just not worth it.
I'm not done with it yet, but losing the center is such a vital part.
That team could just be a complete mess because losing the center, too. You know, you don't know what happens with luck. You know, now the official reports after we heard this from Dr. A like 2 weeks ago was saying that, like, the official newspaper reports are like, I don't know if you call them official, but published reports are saying that, you know, he might not be back till week three. You lose maybe their best lineman, like Matt was saying. And then they've overhauled the defense in an effort to help luck, but that's going to take time to gel, too. That team could be really facing negative game script coming out of the gate in the first 2-3 weeks.
And that's excellent. You know what I'm saying? If luck is the quarterback, that's excellent. Scott Tolzien is like...
Let me ask you this, Scott. Where do you have T.Y. Hilton right now? I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the season, basically. And we've talked about pushing T.Y. down. We have a shell where Chris Pavona talks about pushing T.Y. down. How far is... Oh, hello. How far is that's too you? Far? No, it's not.
I have him at 14.
You have him at 14. What is that overall, if you know off the top of your head?
So you have he's in the mid-20s.
So he's in the mid-20s. So you're taking him... 2-3 turn-ish, then. Is that about... Yeah. Does that sound right?
Uh-huh. Okay. And with every piece of news, though, it seems like he goes down and down and down.
Where are you taking him at?
I have him right now as my 12th wide receiver. He was my number 7.
Right.
And I could have made a case where he could have been 6, you know. But right now I have him... But the question is, I have Terrell Pryor at 13. And when faced with the two...
Right.
I know... I have a healthy quarterback there. I have a player that I believe in that's going to blow up this year. And, you know, one of the reasons Luck had this surgery was he's got no protection on that line.
Absolutely.
And you take away the best player on that line. Sure. The most vital piece. Mm-hmm. And it's, look, would I take T.Y. Hilton at 3-4, say he's there? I probably would.
3-4?
He's not going to be
there. He's not going to be there at 3-4.
I almost got him.
And then they lose that line.
You're not getting a discount on T.Y., I'm telling you.
They're playing from behind. He's going to get knocked on his butt even more.
Jake was telling me, this is wild, maybe about a month or so ago, was telling me something that was the RotoViz app.
The RotoViz thing. Somebody,
I don't have it. Maybe it's free. I don't know. The RotoViz got the app where you can see what happens to the player. For example, what is T.Y. Hilton without Andrew Luck? Right. I think it's like 3 points a game that he loses.
Yeah,
Scott
I think
Tolzien
he was something like 14, 15 versus 11.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. But he's not being discounted in drafts because people are optimistic on Andrew Luck being there week one or being ready to rock and roll week three. You feel what I'm saying? I drafted him the other night. I'll be honest with you.
T.Y. or Andrew Luck?
Andrew Luck.
I drafted Andrew Luck the other night also.
I want to draft T.Y. I think the guy is awesome.
Anybody that's in that league with me tonight?
T.Y. Hilton, by the way, according to Fantasy Pros PPR scoring, he is 17th overall, which is kind of lowering what you were saying, Corey. It's the middle of the second round. Standard, he's actually 23. So, yes, you're right. At 3-4, he probably won't be there.
No, there's only one time I saw him come close. I had the 5th pick in the 3rd round and he went 3-3. And I would have taken him there. I was like hoping he would fall.
Right.
But It's just like you said. You get a Demaryius Thomas who you know is going to put up
points. So that was my question.
If he's not, even if he doesn't have the Hilton ceiling, that floor is so nice.
So that was my question.
He's one of the safest players in fantasy.
Demaryius.
Yep.
T.Y. Hilton. So my question was T.Y. Hilton or Demaryius Thomas. You're saying Demaryius. It sounds like you're saying Demaryius as well, Corey.
Yeah, I got him one spot higher.
Scott, I know you've been the low guy on Demaryius Thomas. You don't hate him, but you've been the low guy. I'd rather have Demaryius Thomas or T.Y. Hilton.
I got T.Y. Hilton 14, Demaryius Thomas 19.
Okay, so you still have him a little bit ahead. Yeah. I have a couple more of those. We'll continue talking about players that we have and don't have here on the Little Experts in the Morning.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Scott, I think you're going to be disappointed in me.
What?
So you know how I had this draft I was saying Sunday night?
Yeah.
I tried to make two moves already. It's Wednesday. I've succeeded in one. I did not win my other bid. It's Wednesday. 3 days after the draft, I've tried to drop two people.
Yo, wait, but why? Is open already? Me. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
I got my startup dynasty auction, the waiver wire opened yesterday, and people were making moves. I didn't make any.
Yeah, I thought to disappoint you because you don't like when I make moves so irrationally.
Yeah, but I've become to expect it. Did you cut your third round pick or something?
I cut Alvin Kamara thus far.
Really?
Why?
For who?
Why did you cut him?
Yeah, why?
This is PPR?
Yeah. Why? Half point PPR.
Who'd you pick up for?
Jonathan Williams. I thought Jonathan.
You had nobody else on the roster.
I could have cut Robbie Anderson or Rex Burkhead.
I wouldn't cut it.
But
I don't know.
In a PPR, I would have kept Kamara.
It's a half point.
Still, that's like PPR to me.
I understand, and that's why I said it. Yeah. I'd rather Jonathan Williams, personally. But whatever. I missed out on Cooper Kupp.
That half PPR is like purgatory. You know, it's like between standard and...
Correct.
Been PPR.
Well, McCoy gets traded, even though they're saying he's not, I got the running back now. Boom!
The opportunity that possibly awaits him, and like I said, even I don't think they're saying the Bills aren't entertaining any trade talks from McCoy right now.
Yeah,
but somebody gets hurt in this weekend or the first week or two of the season. As rare as it is for a football trade, if it's a playoff team, a real contender, I think they would definitely trade for McCoy, and the Bills, I think, you know, would be more than welcome to move him.
How many teams are in that league?
12.
Yeah. It almost sounds like a 10-teamer with those kind of choices.
It's not. It's,
or that you just drafted so much better than everybody else.
I didn't. I made some mistakes that I strongly regret now. But what are you going to do? The other thing I wanted to bring up with you, Scotty, was some other players that. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't other players. This is the other thing on the list. It was C.J. Procise. We talked a lot yesterday about some of these running backs. I forget who we were arguing over. But you had said you wanted the Seahawks backfield over these guys, and you brought up C.J. Procise, who was healthy now. Well, evidently he's not healthy now.
Every day, like, say today he's healthy, tomorrow's not.
Well, I agree, and that's why I was so astounded when you decided, like, Odell Beckham over Julio Jones, who tomorrow could have a bad foot, you know? C.J. Procise is once again hurt, and it's a guy that we have said we've liked, but he can't stay on the field. And that still holds true. He hurt himself in warm-ups before the preseason game. Hasn't practiced since, some light jogging, that's about it. And now the Seattle coaching staff is openly questioning if he will ever be able to stay healthy. It's a guy that had problems in college, much like Leonard Fournette with that foot, and he's having problems in the pros. C.J. Procise, what does this do to his draft stock?
Look, when you look at C.J. Procise, it's the laundry list of injuries is not like anybody else's. You can't even say Leonard Fournette. It's a litany. Look at the Tacoma News Tribune this morning, you know, talking about the injury and where the story broke from, where Tom Cable says, I don't know, you know, about him. The guy got injured before the combine. He's that injury prone. He tried to change his workout regimen this offseason. He actually made it through minicamp, but they can't trust this guy. They've actually, like the Tribune says, They've devoted a whole section of the playbook to this guy. That's significant.
And now he's useless.
But you know what, though? you know what?
Like his rankings.
CJ Procise's rankings?
Not yours.
Oh, yeah. Says the guy with a losing record against me.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But anyhow, you know what? I don't know if it's going to happen. I remember it was the perfect fit that I campaigned for it for over a year before it happened for the Seahawks to get Marshawn Lynch. Man, I wish they would get LeSean McCoy, because you can't rely on Rawls. You can't rely on Lacy, even though he's a value in the Knights.
It don't make no difference. He's not going to be able to run behind that trash offensive line. So what you want to get him for? He don't want to go play behind those bums you got out there in Seattle. He don't want to play out there, Scott. Why you want LeSean McCoy? What, you know how much fantasy value LeSean McCoy going to lose if he goes to Seattle, sit behind the 32nd offensive line in the NFL, Scott? Huh?
So what are you going to tell me about how good was Marshawn Lynch behind the 27th ranked offensive line?
Marshawn Lynch, different player, Scott. That's a different
LeSean
team
McCoy's
also.
A special player, too. No, the Seahawks had a 26th ranked offensive line when they won the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, you know, that's a missing piece.
Why are we talking about the past, Scott? So let's talk about 2017. And it ain't gonna be no Super Bowls for the 12th man in 2017, Scott.
Ain't gonna be no NFC title for the Cowboys. Go Giants.
But no, honestly speaking, though, this thing was shady, right? I think it's going to cause him to drop this weekend.
I agree with you.
I think you're going to be able to get him on a turn this weekend. Would you start a draft Devonta Freeman, LeSean McCoy?
Yes.
Yes.
That's tough to turn down. Really, I would like to maybe grant, like, if Shady fell to the turn, I don't think that's going to happen, honestly. I think people are just going to see what he did last year, and he's possibly going to lead this team. I'm not saying he's going to, but the possibility of him leading the team in receptions is out there.
You know what?
So
you can
I would like to go McCoy and a wide receiver, but that's me.
You know what you can do when the guy is criminally underrated? And check out my updated ranks on rotoexperts.com right now, an exclusive edge package. Enter the king at checkout for a special discount.
Ding.
DeMarco Murray is my number 3 overall rank running back, and the guy is constantly dropping to the second round, so you could start McCoy Murray. You could start Freeman Murray. You know, on the Roto Experts mock draft, PPR, I started Freeman Murray. Murray's going too low.
Well, let me...
Everybody talks about, you know, 2 years ago, right, when he was with Dallas and he's buying this great offensive line and it was perfect. Well, the Titans have a great offensive line that nobody gives enough credit to. It's almost the same situation.
They have a fantastic offensive line. I don't disagree with it. And I like DeMarco Murray. I took him on Sunday. But I want to go back to Corey's point, Matt. With LeSean McCoy, I totally agree with you. When I was talking to people yesterday, I was talking to my friend Russell again. We'll give him another name drop.
We gotta get Russell in the league.
Russell's coming in the studio.
I hang out with a guy named Russell.
Is Russell the Chris Rayburn of your friends?
They missed that joke, yeah. But it was awesome. That was good.
That was very good.
That was a very good joke.
That was a very good joke.
So I was talking to Russell yesterday, and he has been on LeSean McCoy. He has the 7th overall pick on our draft, and he's been on LeSean McCoy has been his guy for months now. And he hears these trade rumors, and he's just like, listen, and you've said this, Corey, if all of a sudden his hamstring hurts, he's not rushing back on the field so quickly.
No, exactly.
If all of a sudden he's got a little cramp, like, I'm not pushing because he's got no reason to do that. And because of that, the guy that's been on LeSean McCoy from the beginning at around 7, he doesn't want him at 7 anymore. I agree with you wholeheartedly that LeSean McCoy in drafts this weekend,
He's going to fall.
I don't know if he makes it to the turn at 11-12. I think he falls to 9-10.
I've seen one draft board this week. LeSean McCoy went 111. What you seen this week, Matt?
I haven't seen him there. It would be interesting to see today. Let me see if I can pull up the other one. I'll do that in a minute that I did on Monday night. But I believe he went pretty high, like in that first half. I mean, I get it. I think maybe now you'll see, like, people that were taking McCoy might switch over to, like, a Melvin Gordon. Because, I mean, Melvin Gordon really doesn't have any body. I know there's, what, Brandon Oliver or these Andre Williams truthers that are out there somewhere. You know, those people are...
Kenneth Farrell.
You know, so I don't know. For me, it's a top 7-8 players that I want to have.
Yes.
And after that, I'm fine taking a Gordon, a McCoy, and stuff like that. But I just, like A.J. Green last year. The problem with A.J. Green is staying on the field. Mm-hmm. We can't ignore that. But, you know, but if he's healthy, just the amount of time. He was the number one guy last year before he got injured. He's going to get the ball, even with a bad offensive line. We know one thing. Andy Dalton is going to throw him Absolutely. The ball repeatedly and in the end zone.
No question about it.
And he's got, you know, he's worked with Dalton for so long that Dalton can be scattergun, and he's got such a wide catch radius and wingspan. It don't matter. He'll pluck it from here, from there.
The days of worrying about A.J. Green because of Andy Dalton are long gone. I think we have all feel very comfortable now with the rapport between these two guys.
Yeah, and there was a report yesterday that they think Tyler Boyd is going to be the second best pass catcher on that team.
Yeah, I did want to get into that. It was actually on my list of stuff to talk about, Scott. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I think it's like it's almost like Arizona to me, but like Larry Fitzgerald and a mishmash.
Sure.
I feel like Cincinnati's becoming a mishmash outside of A.J. Green. But although, while he's there, you do have Tyler Eifert, which is something you have in Cincinnati, which you don't have in Arizona.
Well, I'll say this. Tyler Boyd, I know he had a relatively quiet season last year. But this isn't some dude that was just some scrub, some journeyman.
He's got some pedigree behind him.
He just
got hurt.
He's a second-round pick.
Look, I understand that, but I'm looking at the wide receivers that are going later. I don't see who I'm taking above him.
Would you take Tyler Boyd or Robbie Anderson?
I'd go Robbie Anderson, and I try and avoid the Jets like the plague.
Okay.
But Robbie Anderson is the number one there, so I'm going to go Robbie Anderson.
Do they have enough to support all of these players in the offense?
Cincinnati,
yeah, you
about?
See what I'm saying?
Well, let me throw it back at you. Because A.J. Green, we all love, we all have no issue with. A.J. Green's awesome, right?
Move on.
You don't like Tyler Eifert because he can't stay on the field.
I don't do Tyler Eifert.
Don't you ever like number 25 at tight end or something like that?
I think I moved him up to 14.
he's barely on your board.
Yeah.
You Brandon LaFell's whatever, right?
Brandon LaFell can play. He's probably a better player right now than Tyler Boyd is.
I don't. Maybe not.
I think so. We saw what he did last year. I mean, he didn't have A.J. Green on the other side. He was the number one.
Correct. But you were saying all these mouths to feed. I think somebody emerges for this Bengals team, especially if Tyler Eifert can't stay on the field, and you're right about that, Corey.
And John Ross, you know, has injury history, too.
But John Ross may be the guy that emerges. I don't know. But I think we shouldn't sleep on Tyler Boyd. Like, I say that, when am I going to draft him? I don't have the answer.
Dollar make you holler?
In a 20-team league, I'm going to draft Tyler Boyd. Other than that, he's going to be on the waiver wire. But I do want to bring your name. I want to bring his name up because there is pedigree here. There is talent here. When A.J. Green went down last year, everybody ran and picked up Tyler Boyd. I think the jury is still out on this guy and whether he could be a supreme talent in the NFL. We'll come back. We got more to talk about. You don't want to miss it. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
We just got a tweet to remind us to talk about something, Corey.
Who's that?
Hey, boy, Deontay Foreman.
No doubt. That's my guy.
Yeah, evidently he got hurt yesterday, Matt.
Supposedly he limped off the field.
Here we go. I got it finally. Mark Berman Fox says, Deontay Foreman suffered some kind of leg injury during practice, was limping lightly. Scott just dropped him 25 spots in his rankings.
Oh, man. I love it.
According to Aaron Wilson, Jadeveon Clowney, DeAndre Hopkins, CJ Fedorkiewicz didn't practice yesterday, while Deontay Foreman didn't finish practice due to muscle soreness. He'll be fine.
I don't want to say that. You know, I haven't seen his x-ray. But he's the guy I'm drafting late. I think, you know, would you consider Kareem Hunt a stash in cash?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
His value.
Yeah, you have to pay for him now. It's pretty much sixth round now. If you really want Kareem Hunt.
And so is Deonta Foreman a stash in cash?
I look at him ultimately right now as a stash in cash. Could he be involved week one and have, you know, a role? Absolutely, if he's healthy. But when you're drafting him right now, you have to have that mindset that he can't be somebody that you're looking week one.
Okay.
To have. to get results.
From. Okay, Marlon Mack is a stash and cash, or he's OC waiver wire.
A lot of people think that Robert Turbin's still the guy to draft. You know, really? I think they drafted Mack because I don't think they're that high on Turbin. They kind of got desperate there. So Marlon Mack could be a stash and cash.
Yeah, I think Turbin impressed them last year what he was able to do. So he's a guy that I think will have a role. Marlon Mack is the home run hitter for this team. And how he gets incorporated in will be interesting. Like I said, I understand when people draft Frank Gore, and maybe I'm dead wrong for not doing it. I'm saying maybe this is a deficiency in my game. I should be drafting him, but I haven't the last couple of years, and I'm not going in any sense.
Big Nate asked on Twitter, he said, I heard Dante Foreman limped off yesterday.
Yeah, Scott, we just talked about this. Sorry.
That's okay. I was coming back from the restroom.
Yeah.
The boys' room.
You would know.
Oh, Scott, that wasn't nice.
Because you're a boy.
Let me ask this, Matt. We just spoke about, and never mind, I don't know why I'm just fucking with Matt. We just talked about Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton and the Colts and the negativities. And certainly losing Ryan Kelly is terrible for this team. But isn't that going to affect the running game also? Like, weren't there better stabs to take than Marlon Mack or Robert Turbin, given the state of the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, it's really scary to the Apple. Like I said, I've been a guy that's been on Luck and was willing to take him later on. But, I mean, right now, it's the next couple of days, I got to come up with a plan with this, how I truly feel about it. Because I do think the center is that one position that can really sink a team's offense.
Go ahead.
Then, you know, when you talk about that, and you talk about the center, and then you talk about Luck's injuries and the defensive changes, this team game script, they play a lot from behind. You got a mishmash of a backfield there. Gore, everybody's waiting for him to fall off. They have Turbin as veteran insurance, but Marlon Mack could be the guy of the future. The Colts are looking like, fantasy-wise, like becoming like a total team to avoid. Like, what do we even think about Deontay Moncrief at this point?
I'm not drafting Dante Moncrief.
I'm glad we brought up Dante Moncrief. Perfect segue.
Sure.
So I'm on the clock the other night, right? And I am in round number 6. So far, my team is Melvin Gordon, Dalvin Cook's my running backs, Amari Cooper, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall. When we come back in 6, right? Mm-hmm. On the board at wide receivers are, top of my queue is Devontae Parker, Dante Moncrief, DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. I have DeSean Jackson already owned in 3 redrafts. Mm-hmm. So I drafted Dante Moncrief. And that's diversification of roster right there. Scott, is that something that you would continue to hammer Jackson at that point?
Jackson's not a guy who's too high on my board, though.
Okay, I feel what you're saying. I like Jackson this year.
DeSean Jackson's not my top 35. It's like, I feel like he's like, if I'm desperate and I got to the very last wide receiver 3 that I'm taking DeSean Jackson, the guy's way too inconsistent for me. To me, he's an ideal poster guy for a basketball player.
I would have taken Devontae Parker.
Yeah, that's the person.
Parker went to pick before mine.
Okay.
Parker went to pick before mine. So I'm down to Moncrief.
I would take Parker every time.
You okay? You
over Jackson every single time.
Okay, I got it. Would you take Parker over Moncrief every single time?
Yes.
All right. Matt, well, how would you have played that one?
I will take DeSean Jackson over Moncrief every time.
Really?
Look, Moncrief, I get the touchdowns. He was a red zone target.
Oh, that's right. You're not the Moncrief guy.
We talk about being touchdown dependent and how that's a bad thing for other players, but it's a good thing for. I mean, look, he's 6 for 6 inside the 10. So maybe look, I would draft him, but where I want to draft him, those players got to be gone. Let's see. DeSean Jackson, I'll take over him. Devontae Parker, I'll take over. But Devontae Parker, I think, is moving.
He went one pick ahead. So
Jeremy Maclin or Dante Moncrief?
Jeremy Maclin, easy. I think Macklin's underrated. I have him at number 28 at wide receiver. I think working with Flacco, no longer Alex Smith, he's gonna be very good wide receiver.
So theoretically, I agree with you 1,000%. Maclin over Moncrief.
Yeah.
But there's one problem. You just said we're working with Flacco. Flacco's in the same position Andrew Luck is. He hasn't been in practice in months either.
Yeah, but I'm hearing week three on Luck and week one on Flacco.
But why are we saying week one on Flacco?
But here's another.
This back injury is. Hold on, 1 second.
Here's
Scotty.
Another thing on Moncrief.
Wait, 1 second. I want to go to the Joe Flacco thing for a second, because I agree with you in a vacuum. I want Macklin over Moncrief. I am so on board with you, what you're saying. But Joe Flacco has not been there either. Like, this is supposed to be a couple days when Joe Flacco is back. We are now in a month later. Like, this back injury is real, and I get they haven't done jack you know what about their quarterback situation. But neither are the Colts. They're running with Scott Tolzien. These idiots are running with Ryan Mallett, and neither quarterback seems to me to be any closer to stepping on the field.
And it's totally fair, but like, I'm not in panic mode with either T.Y. Hilton or Jeremy Maclet yet. I've bumped him down a little, but not a lot. You know, it's Luck could be week three. Flacco, if more news comes out, I'll have to drop Maclet a little bit.
Here's the guy. I'd rather have Eric Decker than Dante Moncrief.
Wow, really got him deep down the board. You know what I'm saying?
I think Eric Decker's got to be around the top 40 wide receivers. I have Moncrief right around there too, like maybe just past that. But, I mean, Eric Decker, if he's on the field, is going to score a touchdown. I've seen him do it year in, year out. They brought him in. So
Decker,
you know, he's been great when he's been there. The problem is he hasn't been there in a while, and I don't know what I fully get from him. It's kind of like a bizarre question mark to me. Moncrief, we haven't seen the best of him yet, I think, as a downfield receiver. But when are we going to see that with Luck?
Could be this year.
Could be
year
by week five.
But that was my diversification of a roster right there.
Sure.
Because I wasn't going to keep going back to Jackson, so I picked Moncrief right there. And then this way, if Deshaun Jackson, you know, knock on wood, strains his hamstring in week one, then I don't have to worry about losing a month of Deshaun Jackson on all my teams. You feel what I'm saying? So there you go, right there. Not a bad strategy, Scott. Right.
If it works for you,
yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to end up with Deshaun. Even if I tried and I had a dozen drafts, I probably wouldn't end up with Deshaun Jackson on more than four or five.
Well, you see, the one thing
with diversification, I think it happens naturally anyway. So I'm not going to strive to do it.
This was a situation where it couldn't happen naturally because I could have literally picked Deshaun Jackson on every single team I have this year.
You could be a guy like that. You pick anywhere.
Exactly. You feel what I'm saying? So I got off him right there and went someplace else.
I never had a situation where I had a player on every single team. I never had a situation like that. You can't do it.
The injury to Ty Montgomery is not serious because he's back at practice, which I think is big for him. I think he needs a good showing this week. At least for me, if you're comfortable.
Yeah, and not only that. Speaking of good showing this week, he's a player that you could probably buy cheap this week too.
Tonight
in my auction, he can go very cheap. And then I'm gonna stop because I know they're listening.
Same goes for Mike Gillisley, because Mike Gillisley has been gone for a couple of weeks. He's back, and like Scott, to me, this is almost like it's Patriots. It's the old Patriots all over again, where I'm gonna have no idea what to do week in and week out.
I really think that Rex Burkhead might end up being the leader on that team.
He could, but would it surprise you if it's Gillisley? No. Would it surprise you if it's Burkhead? No. What the hell are we going
to
do?
I'm starting to think that Burkhead's going to be the guy to own in that team.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Rocky Marciano.
What else do we got here? Devontae Freeman should be cleared soon.
Yeah. I'm not tripping off of Freeman right now.
Also, speaking of players coming back, Cam Newton should start in the next preseason game for Carolina. I'm very excited to see him with Christian McCaffrey.
And I'm about to say, I want to see him and McCaffrey, see what the two of them are doing together, see what Shula's been scheming up out there. Obviously, you know how good Cam is. I don't have Cam nowhere. He's way low on my board this year. That's more than likely probably going to be a mistake on my end. But I just want to see what this new offense looks like before I commit to the Carolina Panthers this year.
Another interesting.
But I will take Olsen. Like, sometime Olsen will drop to 6-7. I'll go for Olsen there.
Another interesting depth chart note. You see who's number two on the Broncos depth chart, and he hasn't practiced in a month?
Devontae Booker.
Yep. He has not practiced in a month.
I have grabbed him so late in every league. Got him late in the GST.
Smart.
Got him a dollar for my startup dynasty auction. People are just like forgetting about Devontae Booker. That's the problem, you know, especially in a lot of mainstream leagues. Like, If it's a lesser player and he's injured now, people totally write them off their draft boards. You can't do that.
No, it's
Mike Williams, the same thing.
No,
get him in the final rounds.
I'm writing Mike Williams off.
I got Mike Williams in the 18th round in the GST. I'll do that.
Why?
I'll stash him.
For what?
What?
He's four guys ahead of him.
Now when he comes back.
Yeah, when he comes back.
They drafted that guy, what, number four or five overall?
The eight.
Yeah, he's going to have a role.
I don't think so. We'll see when we come back on the Road Rush First in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning.
Oh boy, Greg.
I'm gonna pause the football talk actually for a moment, Corey.
I'm cool with that.
Because it's time to go at the park.
Very nice.
With the king. Roto Experts at the park, 1 hour later today. Because we were in such a good conversation last hour. I don't wanna pause the momentum. So we're gonna do it now. Here at 7:55 AM Eastern Time on the East Coast, 4:55 AM Eastern Time on the West Coast. And Scotty, you had the opportunity to catch up with Sonny Gray.
Yeah, talk to Yankee starter Sonny Gray, who's a big fantasy football player and Titans fan, and loves fantasy sports from the Nashville area. And here's me talking fantasy football with Sonny Gray.
Johnson, he's just so consistent, and in my opinion, he's so consistent, and he's. They have some weapons on the outside, but he is—he's that offense, and that offense goes as he goes, in my opinion. So he's just super consistent player.
Yeah, I was asking who he would take between David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell if he had the number one overall pick on the board, and you kind of split hairs when you do that at the top of the board. But
we know you would take David Johnson every single time.
Yeah, I would. But you know what? I've sometimes considered moving Le'Veon Bell up to number one because he just plays in a better overall offense, and the defense can focus on him less.
Yeah, I think that. Listen, I've said this before. If I had 10 teams, I wouldn't pick David Johnson 10 times. I know you would. No issue. And the person that started this conversation. He says, listen, you should take David Johnson. That's the guy you believe in. That's the guy you believe in. And obviously, Sonny Gray believes in him, you know? And Sonny Gray, taking the best player overall, I get it. David Johnson. The cool thing about that is the head coach, Bruce Arians, is like, yeah, I want him to get 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Yes, I want to give him the ball a billion times.
Yeah, he does. You know, it's like Sonny Gray says, he is the offense. You can listen to more of the interview on iTunes, on Audio Boom, on Google Play. And, you hear him talk about, his hometown Titans. And, what I do with all these players is I put them on the board, if you will. It's a game I play with them. And a lot of these players looking forward to fantasy football. The Mets, the Yankees, the Diamondbacks all have their upcoming drafts. And, they're looking forward to it and, asking me who they should take or telling me who they're considering taking. So it's a fun time of year to go out to the ballpark and talk to these guys because – Major League Baseball players, like the rest of us, they love fantasy football. Baseball players love doing two things in the clubhouse, playing cards and talking fantasy football.
Yeah, and it's definitely that time. It's definitely that time of the season. As you said, it's Diamondbacks League, 14-team league, very, very passionate about fantasy football. They have so much downtime. It's like, probably just look at, RotoExperts.com all day, Scott.
Yeah, well, I know that there are some major leaguers that definitely use Roto Experts, and you should too. Be like Charlie Blackman, be like David Wright. Go to rotoexperts.com right now. Get your Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. My ranking is completely updated. Enter the king and check
they
out.
They were updated 5 minutes ago when he moved Odell back up.
Odell's at 5 at wide receiver and 9 overall.
Well, it's better than 16 overall.
Look, you know what? It's like, it's a fun joke that I'm hard-headed and stubborn and whatever, but, you know, I respect the opinions of everybody here, and, you know, if you guys make a good point, you know, you make a good point. My first reaction was to bump him down even more, but, you know, and I respect the guests that come on here, too. Look, if maybe we disagree on this, that he hasn't seen the players, but, you know, Dr. A's and inside injuries have been on point so often this year that I have to heed seriously when they say something.
Where's Devontae Freeman in your rankings, by the way?
I have him 12th overall.
So you are also heeding that with Dr. A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right. I didn't bump. I only bumped it down like 2 spots.
Okay.
You know?
We take a break. When we come back, we're on TV. Get up! Get ready! It's the Road Rush for the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.